straight into the next PFS topic, which Denise is going to lead on. So this is around disaggregation and aggregation.
Exactly, yes. This is also exciting, and it's not only NPMs and UPSS and etc. And Imprecare. So as you know, we have done a series of outreach meetings in the past, I would say 2 years, and there are just three constant messages that we receive from users. And users, as we explained in slide four, refer to agenda paper four. Sorry, I didn't mention that. So there are three constant messages that we hear from users. Users want more comparability, more consistency of the information presented, but also more disaggregation. So the main concern that we have heard from users is that information, it tends to be over-aggregated in a few primary lines, and they would like more detail in the primary financial statements or in the notes to make their predictions and to do their work. So the views expressed by users led the board to consider developing guidance on aggregation and disaggregation, and in this way provide some discipline to these processes. So at this meeting, what we would like from you is to tell us about possible ways in which we could improve the aggregation and disaggregation in the financial statements. However, we would like you to focus on three main topics. Two of the topics are summarized in slide 11, and this is additional information by nature when an entity chooses to provide information by function, and also the introduction of thresholds. So those two topics have been already discussed by the board, and the board has already made some tentative decisions in that respect. And there is a third topic that we would like your feedback on, which is the introduction of templates or potential development of templates and the potential development of additional minimum line items. So our requirements in IS1 already have some minimum line items, IFR standards as well, but we are exploring the possibility of increasing that leads to more minimum line items. So the outcome of this discussion will be used as input to further board discussion. So we might end up bringing back some of these topics to the board at the future meeting. We don't want to, but we may have to. So in slide five, developing all these guidance on aggregation and disaggregation, first of all, requires identifying some problems. What are the main problems on aggregation and disaggregation? And these problems are mentioned in slide 5. And so in slides 6 to 10, we provide a summary of the problems identified and then a summary of how the board has tentatively decided to approach these issues identified. So if I can just please run through some of these main problems on how the board approached each one of these problems. Well, first of all, in slide 6, the first problem identified is that there seems to be somehow of a bad habit of lumping together items with dissimilar characteristics into very large other items in the financial statements. So, for example, they present in the financial statements, we see these other huge other income, other expense items. And so the reaction from the board was, let's just develop some further guidance to try to clarify the meaning of aggregation and disaggregation and when items are considered similar or dissimilar, and in this way promote a better understanding of aggregation and disaggregation. The board also discussed the potential introduction of thresholds, to promote more disaggregation. However, we will discuss that topic a little bit later in slides 16 and 17, but I can tell you that there was a lot of controversy. There were lots of mixed views, and we really need your feedback in that respect. So moving on to slide 7, also, another problem that we identified is that information tends to be presented in different locations, financial information, sometimes on the face, sometimes in the notes, but there's no real logic or rationale behind this presentation. So the board's tentative decision was, well, let's include the roles of the financials, the primary financial statements and the roles of the notes as part of the guidance in IS-1 so that that guidance can can guide, you know, the location of this information. So fortunately, the Principles of Disclosure Project has already developed these roles, so we can just incorporate those roles as part of IS-1, as I just mentioned. So moving on to slide 8, there is also an issue with the location of an analysis of expenses, the analysis of expenses by function and by nature that is required in IS-1. Sometimes this analysis of expenses, again, is presented on the face, sometimes it's presented in the notes. So the board tentative decision was to require the primary analysis. So if an entity chooses to provide an analysis by function or by nature, this primary analysis would be on the face. And then the secondary analysis, when an entity chooses a methodology by function, would be presented in a single note. And the reason why the board decided to do this is so that users can access this analysis of expenses in an easier way. They wanted it in a single location, and that's what we heard at least during our meetings with users. So moving on to slide 9, our research and results of our outreach activities indicated that both methodologies for analysis of expenses by function and by nature, well, are considered useful. So the board decided to retain both methodologies. However, the board, in addition, decided to introduce some factors that preparers could use in considering whether one methodology or the other would be more useful, and those factors are shown in this slide 9. So just some additional guidance to make sure that preparers think about the methodology that is most useful for users. Now, moving on to slide 10, and this is one of our first contentious issues that we would like to discuss with you in our breakout sessions, is the requirement to provide information by nature when an entity chooses to provide information by function. So what we observe, the problem that we observe is that functional line items such as cost of sales or SG&A are not disaggregated by the natural components. In fact, we did a review of a sample of 25 financial statements back in 2016, and we observed that only about half of the entities do provide an additional analysis by nature. The other entities did not provide any analysis by nature. So this is a problem, and the board, decided to retain the requirement to provide additional information by nature. But then in slide 12, the board observed that there are, some advantages or disadvantages of providing this additional information by nature. As part of the disadvantages, users have told us that additional information by nature is useful for their analysis. However, we heard in the past, when we were involved in the financial statement presentation project, we heard concerns from preparers that providing additional information by nature and allocating this information for each functional line item identified is practically impossible and is very complex. And their accounting systems are not designed to provide this information. Now, this was 11 years ago. We think it's still the case, but please tell us if it's still the case. We know that at the moment another standard setter is analyzing this issue, and we have heard that it's still the case. So moving on to slide 13, the board considered different alternatives for providing this additional information by nature. So these alternatives are A, B, and C in slide 13. So the first two approaches require disaggregation by nature for each functional line item. However, the distinction between approach A and approach B is that approach A would grant preparers absolute flexibility. So provide additional information by nature, the additional information by nature that, according to your judgment, should be provided for each functional line item that you present. And under approach B, you would not have that flexibility. The board will specify which functional line item should be presented and which natural information should be presented and allocated to these functional line items. Now, alternative C is a little bit of a departure from these previous alternatives, because alternative C is you don't have to allocate information by nature for the functional line items. You will still have to provide additional information by nature, both at an entity level, at a total level. And this was the alternative that was preferred by the board because, well, this was to address the concerns raised by preparers, that it's very difficult to provide further breakdowns of functional line items by nature. So this was like a middle ground solution. Possibly users will not like this solution, I expect, because it's not providing the level of granularity that they want. However, well, this is the solution that the board is proposing. Now, in slide 14, we've got just an example of each one of the alternatives that I just described. Again, on the alternative A, well, an entity would have flexibility to present the functional line items that we've got in these columns, cost of sales, general administrative expenses, selling expenses. Under alternative B, the board will specify which functional line items the preparer has to present, and also, well, the natural components that have to be presented and allocated to these functional line items. And as mentioned, alternative C would be just an aggregate of the information by nature for the functional line items presented, and it would be just at an entity or total level. So in slide 15, we've got questions for CIMAC and GPF members, and it's basically for CIMAC members is information by nature, is additional information by nature useful? And for preparers, well, the question, as you can imagine, the question is it difficult to provide this additional information by nature? Now, moving on to the second contentious topic that we have for today is in slide 16. The question that we are asking is whether the board should require or not numerical thresholds to promote more disaggregation. Now, just to point out that this could not be a requirement, could be just, you know, we could just introduce an indicator. Let me just refer slightly later to that. So this topic raised a lot of debate amongst board members because it's difficult to define a threshold. It would require to define a numerator, a denominator, a limit. And as you know, well, currently we don't have any thresholds for materiality. Why would on earth we would have a threshold for some of the things? But, you know, this is still an open question. So in slide 17, we just show some of the advantages and disadvantages that we brought to the board for discussion. So the advantages is that thresholds could encourage more disaggregation in the financial statements. They could be more enforceable than just having, you know, qualitative requirements. The disadvantages is that they may override the materiality judgments. And as I mentioned, it would be difficult to develop thresholds. So for your information, we brought this issue to the ASAF members back in May 2018. And there was very little support for introducing thresholds, because even though they told us that in their local regulations they introduce thresholds to promote this disaggregation, they do recognize that defining thresholds is very challenging, and they tend to override materiality judgments. So that was the opinion of the national standard setters. Now, board members had mixed views. Some board members supported the introduction of numerical thresholds because they, by introducing these thresholds, then a preparer could understand the level of disaggregation that is expected from them. However, some board members they just saw a threshold more as a calculation exercise, something like, oh, a requirement, I have to do it, and I don't care if it's material or not. So, however, one board member came up with a middle ground solution, which is, well, why don't we introduce it, but not as a requirement, and why don't we introduce it just as an indicator to force preparers to think about whether the level of disaggregation is sufficient, and in this way enable an investor to have more useful information. So this could be introduced somewhere within our authoritative guidance, but just, you know, to push them to think about providing more disaggregation. Well, the board, as the slide 17 mentions at the bottom, the board asked the staff to explore the development of some principle-based guidance that could be developed to encourage this further disaggregation. So in the questions we have for you today in slide 18, we are asking CIMAT members, do you think that we should introduce quantitative thresholds to encourage or require more disaggregation? Would those be useful for CIMAC members? And also, would those be useful for GPF members? And then, well, finally, the last issue that we've got for discussion today for you is in slide 19, is the potential introduction of templates and minimum line items. And so just as background information, when we were doing our research and the results of our outreach activities, indicated that there is a wide variety of practice in the way, especially the statement of financial performance and the statement of cash flows are presented. So there is no consistency and lack of comparability. We did not find much variation in the presentation of the statement of financial position. And also we observed that the current guidance accompanying, illustrative guidance accompanying IS1 and IS7, well, it's too generic to be useful for a wide variety of industries, and also, well, it's non-mandatory. So, well, then that raises the question whether we should develop templates and more additional line items. So, so we included it as part of the scope. It's not an issue that we have discussed yet with the board, but we will be discussing it possibly at the next meeting that we have with the board. And, well, in slides 20 and 21, we mentioned that during our outreach activities, we raised this question to our stakeholders, and our stakeholders expressed support for the development of templates or formats for the primary financial statements for some limited industries. And also in meetings with the CIMAC members, CIMAC members suggested us to include some specific additional minimum line items that are not currently required in IS1 or in IFRS standards. And these lines are, amongst others, cost of sales, selling general and administrative expenses, research and development, restructuring costs or restructuring expenses. So, in addition, we recently consulted a number of standard setters about the use of templates and minimum line items in their jurisdictions. And a number of them, a big number of them, have developed templates and even additional minimum line items in their local GAAP. We're not saying for entities preparing IFRS standards. And amongst the minimum line items that they require are operating profit and gross profit. So totals, well, those are considered also line items. The development, as we show in slide 22, the development of templates and minimum line items has got disadvantages and advantages. There is a potential for increased comparability and will promote more disaggregation. However, there is a possibility that if we develop templates, they might conflict with regulators' guidance. So we are now in a stage of preliminary research in this topic, so that's why we welcome your thoughts on whether developing templates and minimum line items would be useful, and also the form that we will be asking you which form should these templates take, as well as which industries should we develop templates for. And those are the questions that we've got in slide 23. Thank you very much.
Fantastic, Denise, thank you. Could just there may be some other clarifications, but could I just ask on the minimum line items?
Yes.
Does that apply to all the primary financial statements, or is that just focused on the statement of financial performance?
Oh, we will be asking that question. So we will be analysing that question. At the moment, we do not know.
But it could be.
It could.
It's open in that respect.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Any other questions before we go into our breakout groups? Okay, that was obviously very clear. Thank you. So we are in the same breakout groups as we were for the last session, apart from, I think, Anne, are you leading group 4 rather than Martin, but otherwise in the same groups. And if we could be back at 22, so an hour, I think that would give us plenty of time. That would be great. Okay. Thank you.
Do you want to mention your
Yes, I should. So, again, to try and make sure that we can cover off all the questions, we're asking group 1 and 2 to start question 15, 18, and then 23, and groups 3 and 4 to do the reverse. Start question 23, 18, and then 15.